You know, some weeks, preparing sermons is just hard work. But I had some fun this week as I studied and prepared. And so I hope this morning you'll learn some things, and it will help you have a better understanding of some of the things God wants us to be because of who Enoch was. So this morning, I want to begin with Enoch and the patriarchs, and give you some background from the Old Testament. If we study the genealogy of the Bible and work backwards from the birth of Christ, then we can determine that Adam was created around 3586 B.C. Now, the problem with this is stands on its head the theory that the earth is billions of years old, and the accepted norms within science. But what's also interesting is in 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted, and what happened within hours and days and months and the first few years stood on its head the accepted geological timetable that says the earth is billions of years old. And it disproved that, and it showed that the earth is really a young planet. But that's a different study. That's not what we're going to look at this morning. Historically, looking at the biblical timetable of the patriarchs, we discover that from the flood of Noah until Abraham's departure from Ur, there was 422 years and 10 days. From Abraham's departing from Ur of Chaldea to the Exodus was 430 years. From the Israelites' exodus from Egypt to the building of the first temple was 480 years. From the start of the first temple to the captivity in Babylon was 419 and a half years. The Israelites returned to rebuild Jerusalem after they had been in captivity in Babylon for 70 years. From their return to Jerusalem to the coming of Christ was 483 years. So from the birth of Christ until today is 2127. Now, why is it not 2021? Well, first of all, because the Hebrews used a 28-day calendar. And secondly, because the Roman calendar we've used since the birth of Christ is off by 6 years. They made a mistake. And so, in biblical terms, this year is 5781 from the creation of Adam. So what I'm wanting you to do is get a big picture today. I'd like you to understand when Enoch was alive, so were others. Can anybody tell me who was one of the most important people that was still alive when Enoch lived? No, Noah was born after Enoch died. How about Adam? Did you realize then that Adam was born and lived 930 years? He was followed by his son Seth. Now, Adam's name means red because he came from the red dirt when God created him. Seth's name means compensation because he was the compensation to Adam and Eve for the death of Abel. Names had important meanings. And so then after that came Enosh, and he was followed by Kenan, and he was followed by Malachala, and who fathered Jared, whose name means decent. And Jared was the father of Enoch, whose name means dedicated. And Enoch fathered Methuselah, who fathered Lamech, who fathered Noah. So one of the things you see up here is the fact that when Enoch was alive, so were the prior six patriarchs. Did you realize that? So, what we have then is Noah is the last patriarch, the 10th generation. And during the time of Noah, there was the flood. In 1656, 1,556 years after Adam was born or created, and or about 1175 B.C. Did any of you realize that the flood was that recent? See, God is amazing. And what's interesting, you know, the only two people that were alive at the time of the flood were Methuselah, whose name means a man of the dart, which a dart was an arrow, and Noah. And Methuselah dies in the year of the flood. Now, I don't know if he died because of the flood or he died before the flood started, but he died in that year. And so, you know, and then Jared was 162 years old when he fathered Enoch. Now, I don't know about you guys, but thinking about having a baby at 162 years old just makes me tired. Yeah. And even though what the Bible says about Enoch is not in great depth and everything, I believe it tells us some great things. Now, Enoch lived at a time then that the prior six patriarchs were still alive. And so if you think about it, Enoch had the knowledge all the way back to Adam of the good, the bad, and the ugly of over 600 years of human existence. By faith, even despite all these things, by faith, Enoch chose to hear God and walk with him. And so saving faith then is faith that justifies the ungodly. It's even, and when God justifies the ungodly, it also is given by His grace. It saves the sinner. But you know what? It pleases God to pardon us, to love us, and to save us. Now, last week we learned about the faith of Abel. And as we learned that it was Abel's faith in God and what God had revealed to Abel, that he also embraced God by faith. And it was the reason that it says in the scriptures, Abel was counted as righteous. Abel believed God, and by faith he acted out and followed through with his belief. That type of faith pleases God because it shows we trust in God and we trust in the future day for them in the Old Testament, the future day of redemption through Jesus Christ. And in our day, it shows that we trust in God for the return of Christ. And when we trust in God, it greatly pleases Him. So, we'll start with Genesis chapter 5. You know, when we look, most of the time when Enoch is mentioned in the scriptures, it's in a list of genealogy. The lists account for about half the time he's mentioned. And in fact, Enoch is mentioned in the genealogy of Luke, of Jesus in Luke chapter 3. The two other places that tell us a lot are what we're going to focus on this morning. Reading chapter 5, beginning 18, which Dale just read, it says, when Jared was 162 years old, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. When Enoch was 65 years old, he fathered Methuselah. Now, what that tells me is at the age of Joyce and I right now, we should be having a baby. And I think, you know, that would be a little tough, and I think we'll pass. But, you know, Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah for 300 years, and he also had other sons and daughters. Thus, the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, and for God took him. Well, as I said earlier, the first use of he walked with God in verse 22 is just meaning the span of his life that he was a believer in the God, Yahweh, the God creator. And then the second time it's used in verse 24, what it's referring to is that during Enoch's life, he walked in faith and obedience to God. And so I want to unpack this a little bit, and we're going to look at the meaning of Enoch's life. And I believe that there are some important things to learn here, that Moses and the writer of Hebrews want to teach us some simple things, but important things. In the simplest terms, what these verses tell us is that Enoch walked with God by faith, and by walking with God by faith, it greatly pleased God. What Scripture means then is he was consistent in his obedience to God. He lived in consistent fellowship with God, and he did it in a way that appears from what we read in Scripture that the prior six patriarchs weren't able to do very consistently. And the Holy Spirit inspired the writings of these verses because we need to understand the relationship Enoch had with God, because God wants us to walk with him as Enoch did. And that means we walk with God by faith and obedience, even when we're going through hard times, right? Even when we're questioning God, what is going on? Our faith and our obedience keeps us within the will of God. Our human sinful tendency with our faith, I don't know if you, especially if you read the Old Testament and look at Israel, sometimes our faith is hot, and then it gets lukewarm, and then it can be cold. And then God slaps us a little, we get hot again, and we tend to be pretty inconsistent. So, from this text, though, we see Enoch walked for at least 300 years. That's consistency. Can you imagine? God pleased with you for 300 years. And the main point that we need to learn as redeemed sinners is we are called to live a life like Enoch, consistent in our faith. And this consistent faith will then bring us into a deeper relationship, or as we said earlier, a deeper friendship, a more intimate friendship with God. And as we grow in our faith, that pleases God. And God is pleased when we talk to him and share our lives with him. It's true, God is all-knowing, so he already knows what happened in your day, good or bad, right? But he still loves to hear from you, just like we would with a good friend over coffee, sharing our lives with each other. And so, as we will now, we see, you know, that's what Genesis gives us as foundation. And then the writer of Hebrews moves us on and says, where Genesis, Enoch lived 300 years by faith. In 5 and 6, the writer just hammers it down. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. In verse 5, three times it gives you the idea of Enoch being taken or taken up. And what's interesting, when you look up the word in the Greek there that's used in this verse, it literally means to be taken or transported from one domain to another. And as I looked at that, that's the emphasis on this verse, that God takes us and transports us into his domain. And as I read this verse, and quite frankly, I thought about Star Trek a little bit, you know, where they beam somebody down to the planet or they beam them up to the Enterprise. And in a sense, That's what God did with Enoch, right? He beamed him up to heaven. He didn't have to die. And he was transported to another domain. The way in which Enoch pleased God is that while he was on earth, he lived as if he were in heaven. He was consistently walking by faith and not by sight. And in many ways, Enoch is no different than us as believers. Because of the work of Jesus Christ, every Christian then is transported from the domain of a broken and fallen earth into another domain, which is heaven, just like Enoch was. We live here on earth, it says in scriptures, as sojourners, as aliens, and we're called to live as if we're already in heaven. This is why Paul was inspired to write that God the Father has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. We have a new standing before God. We are no longer considered enemies of God, but we know that's what happened with mankind, and that's the reason the flood of Noah happened, right? And then God said He would never do that again. But when we come to Christ, we move from the dominion of an enemy of God to the dominion of being the children of God. And then we stand before God as accepted. He just loves us. Even though we still live on earth, we should strive to live each day as if we're already in heaven. Because Christ is our real home. The earth is not our real home. Our real home is eternity with God. As the Apostle John made clear when he recorded the words of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes Him, believes God, who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." This is the believer's status as we live here on earth. It's also important for us to realize the condition of the society during Enoch's time. The next section, if you were to read on into Genesis, talks about how man most of the time was evil because they were sinners. And when people lived to an old age of 600 to 900 years, they had a lot of time to get in trouble. And when people, you know, their intent often was evil. Civilization and mankind had grown progressively more wicked and deprived for the 1,500 years after the creation of Adam. And it was in this midst of this client of mankind growing ever more evil that Enoch walked consistently with God for 300 years. And the only reason it was just 300 years is because, unlike the other patriarchs, he didn't die. God took him to heaven. And I thought about this, and it seems like to me, if Enoch could live in the midst of all this evil and consistently walk with God, what is different today? We live in a broken world that is growing more and more evil. But if we truly believe in Christ, we believe in the Word of God, we have absolutely no excuse for not walking with God. We cannot blame the environment. We can't blame our parents. We can't say that we're not walking with God because our home life isn't good, or somebody was mean to us, or we have a bad boss or a teacher, like the world does. It seems like we're in a world now where nobody takes responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. See, if Enoch, who was just a man, just like us, who was a sinner brought close to God, just like we are, then we have no excuse for not walking with God this day. So the question that poses to me, and it poses to each one of you, ask yourself, are you really walking with God? Are you living out your faith? Or are you letting the world creep in and affect who you are and separate you from God? Let me be frank. In my own power, I cannot walk with God. In my own power, I cannot save myself. In my own power, I cannot create within my own being saving faith. I can't do these things any more than Enoch could transport himself to heaven. Yet, these are the very things that God requires of us. So the eternal truth is God alone is the one who gives his people the power to do the things that are pleasing to him. I hope you understand that I'm not alone. You cannot save yourself. You must seek and believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the living God, and then accept God's grace. And as you do, he will remodel you. He will re-engineer you so that you can live daily by faith. You know, in verse 5, there's these important words. It says, God had taken him. It is because he believed in the truth of God. And we are called to do the same thing. The key words that follow are by faith. By faith, we understand that we can walk with God. By faith, we understand if we truly rely on God, then he will give us the ability to walk faithful and be separated from this world. It's by faith if we sincerely seek to live in a relationship and obedience to God, he will give us the power to do so. Just like he gave Stephen when Stephen needed what he had to have to die for the glory of God. See, if we truly come to God and pray and spend time with him, he will empower us. And then by faith, our lives begin to change. And day by day, then we can start living in a way that honors him and brings him glory. You know what I think is the miracle that is even greater than Enoch being taken to heaven without dying? Living so closely to God that when we do die, people say, that person walked with God. And then if they say that, that means your life brought God glory and changed other people. We live in a world that's full of meanness. We don't need any more mean people. You know, Enoch was a man just like us. The only one that has ever lived that never sinned was Jesus Christ. But despite Enoch's sin, he was able to live a life of faith and have a deep relationship with God as Creator. And the deeper relationship that one has with God, what's amazing is the stronger your faith becomes. They go hand in hand. So the life of Enoch pleased God, and because of the way he lived it out. Now, people think, you know, by the time of the flood of Noah, there was just a few thousand people. I'm not a mathematician, but if you look at geometric progression, by the time those 1600 years were up and the time of the flood, there were millions of people. And here's Enoch living in the midst of all these people that are corrupt, but he is faithful. We have 7 billion people on this planet. Will you be an Enoch and live faithful among the corrupt? See, the other problem we have because of our sin nature, quite frankly, think about it. All the works of God are meant for what? His glory. Creation of the universe, the creation of the world, the creation of you. But because of our sin nature, we think if we work hard and we do something, that everybody should look at our glory. And it's about us and how good we are. See, we know that everything is to be for God's holiness, God's glory. So when we do good works, if it is because we seek God's glory and we want to grow closer to Him, that's a great thing. But if we do good works for our own glory, then Scripture tells us it's filthy rags. See, like the book of Hebrews, we don't know who the writer is, for sure, of 1 Chronicles. But the words are inspired by God, just like the book of Hebrews. In the book of Chronicles, it says, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and He is to be feared above all gods." All works are meant to praise God and show His glory. And so God tells us, you know, that He loves us. But if we want to grow close to Him, we have to live for His glory. I mean, think about it today. I know as a young man, I grew up thinking my dad could do anything. And then the older I got, the less I thought he could do. And by the time I was a teenager, I didn't think he could do a whole lot of anything. And it wasn't until I became in my 20s again that I realized how smart he was. So we don't want to treat God that way. We want to treat God the way we know He is, consistent, all-knowing from day to day. And when we do that, we greatly please God, just like the life of Enoch. And through the power that God gives us, the Holy Spirit that dwells in with each believer, we are able to overcome the sin nature. We're able to overcome the obstacles of this earth and live like Enoch. You know, last week we learned about Abel. And it says that Abel was commended because of his saving faith, and he brought God an offering that was pleasing to God. Abel trusted in God. He trusted in the words of God that he heard. He believed God so strongly it affected the way he lived. Now, in Jesus and Hebrews, the writers intentionally move forward with another example. It's as if we are moved from Abel's experience of justification or the beginning of faith to Enoch's life lived in consistent faith. When Abel was commended, it was for a one-time act, right? It was for the offering he brought to God. Enoch is commended for a lifelong commitment to God. Saving faith did not originate within Enoch. It was God's miraculous work, like it is with all believers, including Abel. Before God worked in Enoch, he had, like all fallen sinners, he was probably separated from God. As Paul says, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world." Remember the course of the world during Enoch's time? It's not good, just like our course of the world today. "Following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work on the sons of disobedience." Is it really that hard for us to sit back and look at this world, look at even those some churches that call themselves Christians, and see why they're such an awful mess? Because they have not committed to Christ and in obedience and living out His word. And so they are the sons of disobedience. The prophet Isaiah knew this truth and the coming of the Messiah. Before God gives faith, it says, "All are like sheep and have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all." It's talking about Jesus Christ. You know, just as this is true about before God saves, after God saves a believer, things change. When I first accepted Christ, this next passage just spoke to my heart. It told me who I was. Because I struggled in the beginning with my faith, because I knew what a rotten person I was, that I was a sinner. But then I read these words. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, and we know when Scripture says therefore, it's saying, okay, here it is, it's important, listen up. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on the behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become righteous of God. God accomplished divine work in Enoch. He had given him saving faith. Enoch lived out his faith in his life accordingly. Enoch showed the other patriarchs something that we don't read about in Scripture. And that before that time, and that is the fruit of the Spirit. It was by faith, consistent faith lived out, that Enoch lived with God and pleased God. And so one of the key lessons we learn then is faithfulness glorifies God. As Enoch walked with God by faith, we will be taken home by God as well. This truth is a fact that will never change. God's people will be taken home. This week, my wife's aunt died. Our sister-in-law's brother died. But because they are Christians, the moment their eyes closed and they drew their last breath, they opened their eyes and they were in heaven with Christ. We will see that too. It tells us in John, the words of Christ again, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And anyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? If you don't believe it, you've got a problem. As Enoch was transported to glory, so we will too. Someday, whether Christ comes back and takes us and raptures us to heaven, or we die before he comes back and we see him in heaven, this is our eternal home. We're just passing through this world. You know, praise God, I think sometimes I look at the trouble society has. Can you imagine the evil that would be in our world if people still live 600 to 900 years? What a mess we would have. Worse than we have today. See, like Enoch, for us to be faithful, we have to have a persevering faith. We too must strive to consistently live our lives in a way that pleases God. Paul instructed, he said, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, not the things of this world. Yes, money is okay because we need it to, you know, pay our bills. But we are not to worship money. It's a tool. See, Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not the things of this earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then also you also will appear with him in glory. That's the symbolism of baptism. We're dying to ourselves. We're dying to this world, and we're being raised again to live in a way that brings God glory and knowing our real home is heaven. And when we're saved, we should always ask as we're making decisions, are we seeking the things above where Christ is? And are we pleasing and honoring our Lord and God? Our motivation for living should be to bring Jesus glory. And it's not to gain something. by our efforts. I'm telling you, the wealth and health people you see on TV drive me nuts. It is heretical. Don't believe it. God says we bring Him faith because we love Him and He is our God. If He heals us, great. If we die, great. All to the glory of God, and it all points to Christ, and it's how we live our lives that will tell people what we really believe. Enoch's faith led him to live faithfully, and God chose to take him home without dying. It's important to understand, if one accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, not as the book of John makes a big comparison, those who knew of Christ and those who believed in Christ. If you do not believe in your heart, it doesn't matter all the stuff you know. But if you do believe in Christ, then start living for God's glory, not for your own comfort. If motivation is to live a comfortable life, then you might find out you're really not focused on God. You know, think about it. Abel died before Cain. And Enoch was taken at a relatively early age compared to the other patriarchs. Walking with God consistently requires that we think, retool our minds and be motivated to live for God's glory. We are created for Him, by Him, for His glory. As God said to Isaiah, it says, everyone who is called by my name, who I created for my glory, from whom I have made, they must know that I am sovereign. See, we are created to bring God glory in Him alone. So it stands to reason, if you think about your life, you might think, well, I'm not famous. I don't have a lot of money. Compared to some of my friends, what have I accomplished? Well, you need to understand, you are so uniquely created. You can show glory to God in a way that no one else on this earth can. Because no one else on this earth is you. And so you need to take your life, the things that have scarred you, the things that have broken you, and use those things to show other people God's glory so you can relate to them in a way that others can't. I am a man. I'm not a woman. I can't relate to women the way women can. My life story is unique, and I need to take all the good and the bad and the ugly and use it as a testimony to Jesus Christ. People can argue scripture and doctrine. People cannot argue your witness and your testimony. They can call you a liar, but they can't argue it. Learn to give your testimony and what God has done in your life, so you specifically, like no one else, can bring Him glory. God calls His children to live by His power and not their own. And this is why God gives every believer a supernatural power that lives within them. It's called the Holy Spirit. If you do not surrender your life to the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to take over your life, you're in trouble. Believers are possessed. We are possessed by God. Unbelievers are possessed by all sorts of things, and it isn't good. And I hear people say, well, believers can be possessed. That's not true. That's not what Scripture says. There's not room in there. If you got the Holy Spirit in there, there's no more room for an evil demon or anything else. Jesus said when a person comes to belief, He says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth. So why are we alive? To bring God glory. and to share the glory of Jesus Christ with the world. Other than that, everything is small stuff. That's the two big things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, when we approach sin, that's what's in our head. It's, we don't hear it audibly, but it's in our head going, don't do it. And you need to train yourself to stop and listen. When I was a young man, I wouldn't listen. I just went head on, right? And I always ended up in trouble. And so as we work in our daily routines, as we spend time in prayer, as we think about God, as we prepare our day, I can't start my day in the morning without God. Otherwise, I'm in trouble. I don't know if you remember the story of Samuel. Samuel was dedicated. He was given as a special gift to his mother. So she gave him back, right, to God. And he lived in the temple. And he heard this small voice and it said, Samuel. And when he realized who it was God. He said, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. We also need to hear. We need to have the courage to obey, to listen to the promptings of God and the Holy Spirit. And if you're questioning, is what you're hearing from God, if it's going to bring God glory, it's from God. If it's not, it's probably from somewhere else. Don't listen. So we know that our lives are meant to bring God glory. And we need to desire to live in His fellowship just like Enoch did. We need to spend time with God in prayer and sharing and listening and repenting and meditating. Because when we truly pray and open our hearts and minds to God, you know what it tells Him? We trust in Him. We believe in Him. And it humbles us because it makes us realize who we are and who we are not. And who God is. The God that created the universe. God wants His children to have a relationship with Him. He wants you to be in a deep relationship with Him. And then He wants to release each and every one of you to do kingdom work. Because you'll be doing kingdom work for His glory and not for your own. Do you understand what a strong weapon prayer is in your life? This world is broken. It's a mess. And it's through prayer and meditating on the Word that we're strengthened. And we can live in a way that honors Him. As we think about this text and how Enoch walked with God, I hope it motivates you to imitate his faith, to seek to grow closer to God. And you know what? If you look at Enoch's life, if you look at what God did in the early patriarchs, He had to tell them that He had a plan for redemption when we see the way they lived. Because they saw in the future there would be a permanent sacrifice to take care of sin. And so we have that. We walk with God. We need to exercise our faith. It's just like any other exercise. The more we do it, the stronger we get. So we can glorify God in all circumstances, in life, in suffering, in death, in happiness, in joy, all those things, we can come to God and say, amen and amen. Next week, we're going to look at Noah and how he had the faith to build an ark where there was no water. So I just praise God. I bless you this week. Go out and share Christ with someone. We'll finish with worship and a song.